You want to talk soccer? Talking non-stop soccer talk. This is the show for you. This is TFC Pitchside.
Va el perco. El toque. ¡Gol!
Philadelphia Union.
Hey, yeah, it is TFC Pitchside, Dan Riccio, producer Emil Delich. Match preview time, and benvenuto Armando Cooper. Like, that's the only thing that Panamanian goal clip was missing, is the guy actually saying all those things in Spanish. And then having to say Cooper, right? Because gol Armando Cooper. Yeah, we couldn't find one on YouTube that actually had it. They are few and far between, goals for Armando Cooper. But this is TFC Pitchside match preview as we get you set for the Philadelphia Union on Saturday. 7 o'clock kickoff, Sportsnet 360, sportsnet.ca/590. We'll have the call from Jerry Dobson. Talon Energy Stadium is where they are playing, also formerly known as PPL Park. And no, Armando Cooper will not play for TFC this weekend. He is still awaiting the completion of his Canadian work permit, but TFC did make the signing official today. What is it, 2 weeks? After the transfer deadline, 2 full weeks after the transfer window closed. It's a loan from his Panamanian club, Arabe Unido, and, well, there is an option to buy on it as well. So, look, I've never really seen the guy play. Just certainly have seen him probably play a little bit in the Copa America. Never really stood out to me, but it sounds to me like Cooper is going to provide TFC with depth. He can be a bit of a goal threat from midfield. Will take more shots, probably, than Jonathan Osorio and Jay Chapman have this season. He's a bit of a Swiss Army knife. He can play central midfield. He can play at the tip of the diamond. He's played as a winger. And Vanny even mentioning today he could play at right back. So that is something TFC likes to have, as we've seen with Marky Delgado and Tsubasa Endo. Guys who can fill different positions are very valuable in Major League Soccer. So that helps. The other thing it provides, if you want to look a little bit down the line and towards the end of the season, if Cooper does well for the club and they end up picking up his buy option at the end of this loan, it may lessen the burden of replacing players like Will Johnson and Benoit Cheyroux should they choose to leave, or if an agreement can't be reached to have them stay with the club. As we know, Will and Benoit both up at the end of the year. Benoit, kind of old, not being disrespectful or anything. It's just kind of a fact. And Will's on a big contract. I mean, it's nearly a DP-level cap commitment. So interesting times ahead for TFC and how this team's going to look forward in the future. And that's something you have to keep an eye on as well when thinking about this Armando Cooper arrival. We'll hear from Greg Vanney. He was talking at the Kia training ground today about Armando Cooper's arrival and what it brings to the club. We will also hear from midfielder Jay Chapman, an exclusive one-on-one conversation with our producer Emil Delich from the Kia training grounds. And we'll speak to Kevin Kincaid of the Philly Voice to get a feel of what exactly is behind the turnaround of this week's opponent, the Philadelphia Union, who have gone from MLS laughingstock to serious contender in the Eastern Conference this year, especially after the addition of Alejandro Bedoya. As for the two teams going into this game, TFC collected a 13th point in their last five. That makes them, yes, that does make them, the most on-form team in Major League Soccer over the last six match days. The draw in Houston was less than ideal against the 10-man side, but maintaining a point per game level on the road is fine over the course of an MLS season if you want to look at it that way. And if they gather points against the Union over the weekend and Orlando, they will match their longest unbeaten streak of six, possibly seven games, would be a new record going back to May 17th to July 2nd, 2014. 3 wins, 3 draws, the great year of Jermaine Defoe. Meanwhile, Philadelphia is third in that aforementioned form table, among Eastern Conference teams at least. 2 wins, 2 draws, 2 losses. Their most recent victory came last weekend, a 4-0 drubbing at Gillette Stadium, where they beat the Revolution. It was the first game for new DP Alejandro Bedoya, and he seemingly fits right into their system. We'll get more on that when we talk to Kevin Kincaid of the Philly Voice later in the show. TFC, they won all 3 meetings with Philly last year, and before the 3-game winning streak, the Reds had just 2 wins in league play against Philly in the previous 12 matches. Seba, though, he scored a goal in each of the last 3 matches against Philly, but Philly at home versus Toronto is 4 wins, 1 loss, and 2 draws. On the trainer's table, TFC seemingly having less and less players to worry about on the injury front. Out is Benoit Cheyroux, still with that hamstring injury. Producer Emil Delichuk had a quiet chat with him at the Kia training grounds Wednesday, and Benoit feels he should be able to return against Orlando right before he got into his Porsche. Well done, Benoit. A nice, lengthy, strong career at a high level would get you a Porsche. But Orlando would be midweek, so another game out for Benoit. And the midfield options are plentiful right now for TFC, so they could take their time bringing back the wily veteran. Out is also Clint Irwin, who continues to take first-team reps and is just kind of getting back into match fitness, it would seem like, at this point. And Alex Bono has played pretty well since the San Jose game, so it's hard to really feel like TFC have to rush back Clint Irwin, although he has been a fantastic signing this year. Justin Morrow, Stephen Betashore, Will Johnson, all training with the first team in full today, and they look like they will be a go in Philly from the start. Daniel Lovitz, he trained in full after playing for TFC2 this past weekend. He logged 32 minutes there in their 1-0 loss at Harrisburg. Mo Babuli also played with the Baby Reds, got in a full 90 with 6 shots, 2 on target in that game. Philly will not yet have Maurice Adu available to them, though he is progressing well and could return soon. Again, we'll talk to Kevin Kincaid about some of Philly's injuries later in the show. At the Kia training grounds, it was an interesting day. As soon as I arrived there, you have to walk like a mile because you can't park right in front of the place anymore. They have it like Fort Knox. There's all these gates and stuff that you have to walk through now. So you get there and you have a nice little walk to the Kia training ground, and I walk in, I sign myself in, and I walk over to that little kind of media box room that they have there, where usually John Molinaro, Kurt Larson set up. And J-Mo says to me, first, it doesn't even say hi. He just says, actually, I think he did say hi. Can't remember. But J-Mo did say to me right away, Cooper's official. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And sure enough, we did get to hear from the coach, Greg Vanney, on Armando Cooper.
Yeah, Armando's he's a player we were watching over the course of this last window. And we were in discussions with him, and the discussions just kept going on and on, and obviously down to the wire, and we finally were able to get it done through some interesting mechanisms that I've not really seen. But so we didn't know if it was going to take place or not. We were prepared to move on, but through the through the proper channels, there was some questions on the timing of everything, and evidently it got in under the window, so we were able to secure the signing. But Armando's a very good player, very versatile. He's played on the wing. He's played in the middle midfield. He's played right back. He's played a number of positions. He comes with a lot of experience. He's played multiple times for Panama, and he's played in Europe as well. So he's a guy who just he continues to give us depth and options, and we'll ultimately see what the best fit is for him in the group. But we have our ideas on where we think he'll bring some value to our team for sure. So in his deal, just to continue as he's with us on loan with the option to pick up the loan going into next year if everything looks good.
Two things really stand out from that. First is Greg kind of pointing out that some interesting mechanisms allowed them to make the signing, which we all know, like the window ended 2 weeks ago and they just announced the deal today. Like, what is this? How long ago did you backdate the paperwork? I don't know. It's very MLS. Rules are not necessarily rules. They are more guidelines. And also, there was a great J-Mo grunt in there.
Hey, you do whatever you like.
Good J-Mo grunt. Yeah, it was solid. If you listen to enough TFC practice and post-game audio, you'll hear the J-Mo grunt. It's part of the deal. More on Greg Vanney, and obviously everyone kind of impressed with Philadelphia getting their first win in 10 games on the road this past weekend against New England in a 4-0 drubbing, and it just so happened to be Alejandro Bedoya, first win in 9. No, they were winless in 9 on the road, so this would be their first in 10. Correct. Just having a little conversation here with producer Emil Delich. Anyways, semantics, really. Philly was really good, and they hadn't been on the road for a very long time. And it just so happened to be the first game with Alejandro Bedoya. So I asked Greg Vanney, what about Bedoya makes Philly that much better?
I think he's an all-around good player. I think he's very mobile. He's active. He's very comfortable on the ball, but he can also arrive into dangerous situations. So he can start a play from maybe slightly deeper, but his mobility allows him to also get forward and get into pockets and arrive into the box. And I think he just, again, he brings another quality player to their group. I think, between Ernie and the guys there, they've done a really good job of putting together a roster that fits together and players who fit certain roles and have meshed together well. And I think they all work hard and they've become, they're a very difficult team to beat. And in the end, they've also done well in obviously scoring goals and being dangerous. So I think they've done a great job turning things around for that franchise, and they've got a good group of guys who really work hard together.
There is Coach Greg Vanney from the Kia training grounds, and Bedoya is an interesting player, and he's a good player, and he's not going to be a flash player, but he's going to make Philly better. Kind of like we always talk about on the show with Michael Bradley, but we'll get more into that with Kevin Kincaid. First, we'll talk to Jay Chapman. More importantly, producer Emil Delich will talk to Jay Chapman. And this is an exclusive one-on-one for TFC Pitchside with Jay Chappers.
All right, a pretty quiet day at TFC training today here, joined by Jay Chapman. Jay, how was training today?
That was fantastic. We're going through some shape and how we want to play this weekend against Philly. It was really sharp. We got to play a little small-sided, which is always good. But just going over some things that we need to tweak and go over some things that we can do better on in terms of going into Philly and looking to get 3 points.
A little cooler today, eh?
Yeah, it's actually nice. The sun's out, which is good, but yeah, the temperature's dropped a little bit. It's been a hot summer, so it's kind of nice to get a little cooler day.
I kind of want to talk to you about the amount of appearances you made this year. You're almost going to double your amount that you did last year with Vanney coming in into the fold and having all his trust in you. How have you progressed as a player, and what has helped you progress as a player to get all these absences here?
I think it's just a lot of game time. With game time comes maturity and comfortability on the pitch. So, it's been great that Greg's given me an opportunity, and I think that I've taken more of a responsibility on the team and I've been able to contribute more this year given the trust that they've had in me. So I think it's just building on each performance. I feel like I'm getting more confidence the more time I play. So it's been really good. We're on a good stretch right now. It's really good to start in the 4 games that we won at home. It's something that I pride myself on, playing well in front of the fans. So it's been good. And I'm a long way from where I want to be, but it's been a good season for me.
We'll get back to the fans in a second, but I want to ask you about the youth push on this team. We got you and Endo. Great piece with you and Endo, actually, written by James Grossi. There's also Oso and a ton of other young guys. How's that camaraderie between you and young guys? Do you guys feel like you guys are in this together with the whole homegrown talent and the young push of college players?
Yeah, 100%. I think when Michael and Clint and Will went down, us young guys kind of, we try to take the responsibility. This is a huge club. Toronto FC is a club that you know, we want to compete for championships. We already won one this year. You know, we won an MLS Cup. We want to bring that back to Toronto. So I think, you know, when injuries happen, you know, there needs to be guys to step up. And given the fact that we have young guys that are might not have gotten a ton of opportunity before, you know, for us to come in and step up, we really wanted to show the fans and the team that we do belong here and that we're ready to contribute to the team, not just, you know, not just coming in games, but really being able to contribute in matches and help the team win. So, you know, I think it's in terms of chemistry with us young guys, you know, we're all really good friends on the team, you know, from the big names to us young guys, you know, we have a really tight-knit group. So, you know, when we step out on the pitch, you know, there's no kind of, you know, underlying fact that we're young. It's, you know, we're all just trying to contribute to the team and we're all just trying to get 3 points at the end of the day.
With the fans, you guys are really embracing them this year more than I've ever seen before. At what point in the game, when you're lagging, you're feeling that you can't give it that extra push, what do you look from them to give it that extra 10, 15, 20% to get that goal and maybe to tie it up or win the game at the end?
I mean, first off, they've been fantastic. You know, it's,
have you ever seen them this?
No, honestly, I haven't. I mean, last year they were great. You know, they gave us a lot of momentum going into the playoffs. But this year, you know, they've been fantastic all year long. You know, every time that we play at home, you know, it's really tough for us to lose at home. You know, even if we're not playing the best games, you know, I think that we've come out and we haven't played necessarily our best, and the fans have kind of pushed us through, and we've still gotten 3 points at home. So it's, you know, they've been fantastic. You know, the thunderclap is, I mean, it speaks for itself. You know, even, you know, when we're on the pitch and, you know, a lot of times, you know, you can hear the fans, but you're kind of in game mode. So sometimes you can't, that thunderclap kind of just, you know, it rocks the whole stadium and kind of gives us an extra boost in the second half.
You've been here now 2 years with this team, playing with the top club, seeing phase one, phase two of the stadium. How much of a difference does it make from actually enclosing that stadium and having that sound just blow through your ears when you're on the pitch?
Oh no, it's crazy. I mean, I think it's, you know, I think it's easy to see, you know, when you travel on the road and you see these other stadiums and stuff, you know,
Houston, for example,
you know, they, you know, when we played there, I mean, given the fact that it was some rain, it was, you know, it was tough circumstances, but you know, Red Bull Arena's got a great atmosphere. Seattle's got a great atmosphere. And I think when you compare those to Toronto, you know, maybe in years past you could kind of rate them higher, but I think this year, you know, with all the additions and us coming home and the fans just really getting active, I think it's easy to say that we have a top three stadium, you know, in the whole league. And you know, I think the whole team as a whole has come like a long way in terms of facilities, coaching, everything. So it's you know, we're a team on the rise and we're looking to push forward into the playoffs.
We ask a lot of guys about this, but the pitch, we're sharing the pitch with the Argos this year. Do you see a difference at all, or is it just as great as it was last year?
No, I mean, I think the grounds crew has done an absolutely fantastic job. You know, I think there's, you can notice a little things, you know, just in terms of like where the end zones and stuff are, but I think the grounds crew does a really good job in terms of preparation for the matches. So, you know, there's no huge difference. You know, at the end of the day, we have to plan it. Other teams have to plan it. So we kind of just have to go out there and just take care of business when we're at home.
All right, let's step away from the football pitch for a second and have some fun here. The Olympics are ongoing right now.
Yeah.
Well, you've been taking them in. What's been your awe moment that you've just couldn't, beside yourself, kind of took you a second to kind of realize what just happened?
Probably for me was, I'm going to say the Michael Phelps kind of whole thing, you know, just, I mean, it's his, as he said, it's his last Olympics, and just to see him go out like that, you know, he's the greatest Olympian of all time. So it's just a pleasure, you know, to grow up and watch him and just be involved, you know, and watch as he, you know, just completely dominates the Olympics. So it's I think that's my favorite moment. But also seeing a lot of the Canadians, you know, do well, the really young Canadians, and seeing Canadian fans over there, you know, when they kind of switch feeds to, you know, the fans and the sections and stuff in Rio, and just seeing the Canada flags and the amount of people and support that they all get there is, you know, it's fantastic.
Actually, I saw a TFC jersey in the stands when the grass was running 100 meter. Yeah, randomly enough,
awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
You're a big music buff. What's on your top three right now, or what are you looking forward to come out soon?
Yeah, huge music buff. I'm really into house music. You know, I like music that can kind of get you going, get your heart rate going, and stuff like that. Biggest album. I like the new Borges album that just came out. Borges, he's good. Tory Lanez, yeah, huge fan of Tory Lanez. He's
a local guy too.
Local guy, he's killing it. Yeah. There's actually a guy called Nav. He's kind of low key right now, but he's from Toronto. He's actually,
what he looks like.
Yeah, I don't know what he looks like either. But yeah, no, I mean, he's coming up. I think he's got some some love from Drake a little bit too. So he's coming up, and I'd say he's probably my favorite artist right now, and he's pretty low key, but I think he's really talented, and it's cool to see someone from Toronto coming up.
We kind of want to come down to figure out what really happened at the locker room a couple weeks ago. Did you or did you not blow the speakers?
I'm not sure if I blew the speakers. I had them bumping pretty loud, but I think it fell off the top because we kind of have them like on top of a locker. I think it fell because it was bumping so loud. So I don't want to say I blew it, but I may have caused it to fall down. That's for sure.
All right, thanks, Jay. Appreciate it. Jay Chappers. Tweet the man.
There you go.
Sounds good.
So yeah, producer Emil Delich on Twitter at @AmanDelich, and obviously Jay Chapman at Jay Chappers. He was the one who ruined TFC's sound system, which has now been replaced inside the dressing room at BMO Field. It's been fixed. So whenever they do have a positive result, you can hear it bumping in there. Pretty hard. Last year was Warren Cravall who manned the speaker system after games. And this year it is the youngster, Jay Chapman, who has really enjoyed a bit of a breakout season for TFC, and you hear him there. He's a solid, good, all-around kid. Now let's switch gears and get more of an inside look at the Philadelphia Union. What is behind them going from 37 points and one of the worst teams in the Eastern Conference last year to having 34 points through 24 games already this season? And we are now joined, very happily, by the way, by Kevin Kincaid, union reporter for the Philly Voice. Kevin, are you as surprised as we are that Philly are actually this good?
No, yeah. I don't think we expected much of anything this year. You know, when Ernie Stewart came in, I think we were thinking, hey, this is the start of something, and they're at least building towards something feasible here. But, yeah, I don't think anybody expected them to be close to the top of the Eastern Conference just 1 year in. So, yeah, it's different days for Toronto and Philly, that's for sure.
Yeah, just 3 points away from matching last year's point haul. So it's been impressive to watch. And then mid-season they bring in Alejandro Bedoya, and he looks fantastic in his first game. The team looks fantastic in his first game. What exactly does Bedoya bring to this Union side?
Well, right now what he brings is that he sort of plugs a gap in the formation. And by a gap, I mean a gaping hole that was left when Vincent Nogueira left and he went back to France. And basically what happened was that Nogueira was a really, really good number eight, a box-to-box ball mover, a defensive midfielder who really liked to get on the ball. And he helped get it from back to front. He was just a facilitator for them. And they really didn't have that after he left. Tranquil Barneta went back there, and he played a little bit of it, but it's just not really his role. So when Bedoya came in, they plugged him right into that number eight. And the 4-0 win against the Revolution on the weekend, he didn't really do much of anything that was that crazy. You know, he quietly just sort of kept the defensive shape, moved the ball back and forth. And it allowed Tranquil Barneta to get back in up into the number 10, where he's been much better this year. So he just kind of you know, calms the nerves a little bit, and he brings some stability that they needed, because over the last like 5 or 6, they've been giving up a lot of goals. So his, you know, his addition to the team is timely.
Yeah, it's weird. You know, like people who are more educated into the game, they really like having a guy like Bedoya, or in Toronto's case, Michael Bradley. But at the same time, it can be tough for some fans. The casual fans, they say, hey, why are we paying all this guy all this money? Because he doesn't score goals and he's not getting all the assists. Like, I don't understand it. And really, you have to realize exactly what their role is in the team and how much they improve the team. And I think the same case for Michael Bradley can be for Bedoya.
I think that's actually a really good comparison. Yeah, I didn't even really think of that, you know, because we could sit here and argue all day long whether Bedoya should be playing wide, whether he should be playing centrally, whether he should be playing deep. I'm sure Jurgen Klinsmann has an opinion on each one of those, you know. And you could say for Michael Bradley as well. You could say Michael Bradley, is he a 6? Is he an 8? Is he playing a 4-4-2? Does he play in a 4-2-3-1? But, you know, the one thing that I think everybody can agree on is that by inserting Alejandro Bedoya or Michael Bradley into your team, you're making your team better.
Yeah.
So I think that's that's really the takeaway. I mean, I know that, you know, Bradley missed some games for Toronto, but I think you'd be hard pressed to find people who say they're a better team without him. And I think that'd be the case for Philadelphia too.
There will be TFC fans who will try to make that case to you. There's no doubt in my mind. They try to do it to me all the time. Kevin Kincaid, our guest here on TFC Pitch Side. So not only that, I think Maurice Adu is going to be coming back as well shortly. Is that the case? How's he progressing from his injury?
Yeah, he'll be back eventually. It's been a long haul, and that's sort of the number one question that the fans are asking us, the guys who cover the team. It's just tough because he's been out for so long. He's been out since last September. You know, so it's almost been a year. It's been 11 months. And the stress fracture was something where he couldn't even really get to team activities until a couple weeks ago, and then he needs fitness on top of that. So they're trying to get him to Bethlehem Steel, the USL team, for minutes right now. So I can't imagine he'll be available anytime soon, and they're running out of time, you know.
Yeah.
To add to that, Brian Carroll, you know, the veteran who's been playing actually really well this year, he's sidelined with plantar fasciitis. So Warren Cravall right now, the journeyman, is sort of your starting number six. So they do have a little bit of concern there. Cravall's been good this year, but, you know, I think that Maurice Adu obviously is a superior talent, as I think most people would tell you. At some point they're going to need Maurice to get healthy and get back in there, or else they're going to be riding Warren Cravall until Brian Carroll gets back.
Yeah, former TFC man himself, and that's a guy who never really got to play in his preferred position here at TFC either. So,
he played some right back up there, didn't he?
Oh yeah, and he didn't look great doing it, to be quite honest. And it's unfortunate to him because, you know, when he did play in a more central midfield type role, he did show better. But TFC just had that right back problem for so long until Steven Betashore came in.
That's true, yeah. And, you know, Warren, to his credit, he wouldn't have played in a midfield under Dominic Kinnear if he wasn't a decent enough player. So I just never understood the right-back experiment in Toronto.
Yeah, it was a strange one, and it's happened with Nick Hagelin as well. But that's a conversation for another day. CJ Sapong, he's got a head injury. Is he going to be ready to play Saturday?
I think so, yeah. The question is whether he starts or whether he comes off the bench. I mean, he's going through the concussion protocol now, and he passed stage one as of Wednesday. And the last time they had somebody who went through that, it was Sebastian Latou. But I think Latou took a harder hit to the head that time. So I think CJ would be in line to start unless for some reason it just doesn't pan out the way they wanted to. He didn't take a direct blow to the head, but basically it was sort of like a high arm that got him in like the neck, lower jaw kind of area. I think that the concern was that Sapong had a facial fracture last year that came from the very first game of the season. He was going up against Axel Schuberg and Bobby Burling with Colorado. He took a blow to the head, and he broke his jawbone or the orbital, maybe one of those. And so that's more of where the concern with contact was. But as far as if you're going to grade concussions, I don't know if you can, but this one didn't seem as severe as the other ones, he said.
Now, anytime a team goes from the bottom of the table and starts turning it around, there's going to be a lot of good stories that come out of it. For me, Chris Pontius is scoring 10 goals and leading the team this year. I mean, that's got to be up there. The veteran, I didn't see this out of him this year.
Yeah, and I was lukewarm on it to begin with because I just thought the money was kind of high. You know, they're paying $400,000 to a guy who really hadn't had a good year in three seasons. And, the concerns about the injuries were legit. You know, it wasn't just something we were making up. I mean, this was based on evidence over his production over the last couple of years. But, credit to Philly's sports science staff. They really, really brought him along, tactically and didn't try to do too much. And they limited his minutes originally, and they were giving him 65, 75 per game. But, it's ironic with Chris because he'll disappear for long stretches of time, and then he'll pop up with like a game-winning goal. So
yeah,
he just sort of has these this kind of innate ability to impact a game even when it seems like he's kind of out of it for a little bit. So he's with all the talent they have in the midfield now, it's kind of crazy to think that he's probably one of the first guys penciled into to the starting 11.
Yeah, and he's been quite on form of late. I think it's four goals in his last five appearances or so.
Yeah, and it's somebody actually. One of the other reporters down here, Joe Tanzi, pointed out that Chris Pontius has the most goals out of any American in Major League Soccer right now. So,
well, the way Josie's going right now, he might change that by the end of the season. So.
That's very true. Yeah, Chris Wondolowski's on nine or something like that. But, yeah, again, I mean, Chris Pontius has very, very quietly had himself a career year. I think when he played in the All-Star game in Philadelphia in 2012 when he was still with D.C., I think he had 12 goals and three assists this year, so I think he's two goals now off of his career high.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. Andre Blake, is he the best goalie in Major League Soccer? He looks like it sometimes.
He looks like it sometimes. I mean, it was interesting because Bill Hamid was injured to start the season. I've seen similar things out of both of those guys. You know, Andre's raw talent and his athleticism are something else. You know, he's one of those, you know, Caribbean guys who's got that long and lanky build, and just the way that he covers the net and the way that he can stretch and kind of reach balls with these reaction saves are, you know, second to none, really. Somebody asked me, you know, what does Andre have to improve on, or what are his weaknesses? And yeah, I don't really know, to be honest. Maybe his distribution, maybe his kicking. He's great in the air, and he just does a lot of things really, really well. He was off a little bit after the Copa America break. I'm not sure if the playing with Jamaica kind of distracted him a little bit or took him out of a rhythm, but I'd say he's in the top three right now.
Yeah, he certainly looks like it, and he's always making those highlight reel saves. And I think for any goalie, especially at that age, it's probably just match experience, right?
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, it's a shame that Philly didn't get him in there sooner.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's going into his third year in the league right now. And, you know, it's people got to remember he's a generation Adidas player, and they're still getting him for free. And so
they went from laughingstock a little bit to a real Eastern Conference contender. It's been a lot of fun to watch, and it's a big game this weekend. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? I just think after Toronto opened with the seven games on the road or whatever it was, I told people online that Toronto was the best team in the East at that point. I mean, to me, it was indisputable based on the way that they had played on the road and the way the defense was. You know, and then they hit the skids a little bit going through that. But I still think as long as Sebastian Giovinco is doing what he's doing, and if Josie keeps coming through like he is, Drew Moore, I think, is one of the most underrated players in the league. You know, if they can just keep it stable, I can see them doing damage in the playoffs. You know, now they have the experience of having been there last year and having a disappointing exit. You know, I wouldn't want to play Toronto down the stretch.
Yeah, they've looked good, but they haven't won on the road since that early season stretch. So
it's true.
It's so MLS. Kevin, really appreciate you doing this, and you always do great work in the Philly Voice. Thanks for coming on today.
Appreciate it, Dan. Take care.
And you can follow Kevin and his fine work in the Philly Voice at Kevin_Kincaid, KINKEAD. So last season was, as you heard there, a completely different year for Philly. They were awful. They were a bit of the laughingstock of MLS, especially with the goalkeeper thing and having Rice and Boley and Zach McMath, even after they drafted Andre Blake number one overall. It was a bit of a joke over there in Philadelphia. So TFC dominated them, sweeping all three games against Philly in 2015. Prior to that, wins against Philly few and far between, especially in Philly. They hadn't won in Philadelphia until last year. Sebastian Giovinco scored in all three games. And this weekend, he wasn't at training all that much. He was celebrating the birth of his new daughter, Alma, and he might want to have a special celebration lined up in the game for Philly this weekend, as we've seen Giovinco do in the past. Last year in Philly, Giovinco had a crazy free kick goal, if you will remember it, but you wouldn't remember it from hearing this clip.
This one from beyond 30 yards. Pior Giroux will take it. It's Giovinco firing it! Giovinco has scored the first goal. The danger of Giovinco. Toronto leads for the second straight game, and for Giovinco, goal number four, tying it with Altidore.
Here's another look at it from behind. Hits the knuckleball. McCarthy seems to get a late jump, gets a piece of it. You see the late jump he gets because the ball came over the wall, doesn't see it right away. But this ball knuckles beautifully.
And yeah, it's an incredible free kick goal, and you wouldn't know it at all by hearing that clip. Like, look, if you're going to be a play-by-play broadcaster, fine, be a bit of a homer. But when somebody scores an incredible goal or hits an incredible home run or scores the most ridiculous touchdown, I don't care what sport it is.
Firing it! Giovinco has scored the first goal.
It is your job to call it as you see it. Whether it's home or away, when somebody scores a free kick goal from 35 yards out, give that goal its due. Please. Is that too much to ask?
Firing it! Giovinco
You started it well.
The first goal.
And then as it goes in the net, Javinko has scored the first goal.
Come on, man.
Like when Armando Cooper scores his first goal for TFC, whoever's calling it, like that's going to be his first English goal call in the history of his career. It has to be done right. Especially when you have those previous goal calls to live up to. Goal! Armando Cooper. Did you know Philadelphia's Tranquillo Barneta won 7 fouls in the team's 4-0 road win over New England on August 13th? This is the most fouls won by any Union player in a single MLS match this season and tied for the most by any player in the league in a match this season. Now, I can't remember which World Cup it was. I want to say 06, but when Barneta made his first appearance for Switzerland at the World Cup, he was like their superstar up-and-comer, was Tranquillo Barneta. And I remember he was actually really, really good in Football Manager. And that's how you know a guy's usually got some talent, if he's good in Football Manager at a young age. So it never really worked out for him in Europe, but he's certainly showing pretty well here in MLS. And he's doing really well this year for Philadelphia. And what he means right now for them is providing a number 10. And Alejandro Bedoya coming in really gives them that extra little oomph because he doesn't have to worry so much about the defensive part of the game. He can focus on his playmaking abilities. Philadelphia also, you need to know, they are tied for the most penalty kick goals scored in MLS this season with 6. That brings us to
Major Key Alert.
Just carrying this over, but key number one, and thank you, DJ Khaled. Haven't yet listened to the new album. Does it get a Emil Delich producer thumbs up?
It's all right.
It's okay? All right.
Too many features.
Too many features. All right. Fair enough. Fair enough.
DJ Khaled.
It's a Major Key Alert. Right now, and the first key to TFC getting 3 points in Philly is defending the aforementioned Barneta. Philadelphia's move for Bedoya, as I mentioned, it lets Barneta be at his best. He's top 10 in key passes per game, nearly 2.5 per appearance. This might be Michael Bradley's biggest job for the game in Philly, and that's keeping Barneta in check. Number two, Will Johnson's coming back. And he needs to bring back that box-to-box present. One thing that TFC have lacked on the road, and really since Will Johnson has been out through injury, is midfielders getting into goal positions. We saw it a little bit last week with Oso and with Jay Chappers, but they seem still hesitant to take that shot. Will Johnson wasn't hesitant to shoot. And that's why he's got 2 goals on the year. I know it's not a lot, but for a midfielder, he was on a pretty good pace for the season. And he's averaged 1.5 shots per game this year. That's only bested by Toussaint Ricketts and Sebastian Giovinco, of course. And by the way, no TFC midfielder has anywhere near 1.5 shots per game, other than Will Johnson. So get him into that, back into that box-to-box present that TFC have really, really missed. Get wide and create turnovers. I know that's the last thing you want to hear after watching TFC in Houston this past weekend, but getting wide could be the game plan for the Reds this weekend. Philadelphia really struggles out on the flanks when teams get wide on them, and against the counterattack as well is where Philly are weak. TFC are among the best counterattacking teams in the league. They've scored 3. That's tied for the most counterattacking goals in Major League Soccer. But wide play hasn't really been their forte. The crosses aren't always there for TFC. Moro and Beta, they're back in at fullback, at least we think. And getting some quality crosses in should be a priority against the Union. It's going to be beautiful in Philly this weekend. It won't be the madness that we've seen in Texas over the last couple of years with TFC. 31 degrees Celsius will feel like 38, though I would imagine by kickoff at 7 o'clock on Sportsnet 360 and sportsnet.ca/590, it won't feel as hot. You would hope, at the very least. No precipitation is expected. Dan Riccio, this was a TFC pitchside match preview. On Monday, we hope to have more on Armando Cooper. And we'll also break down this game in Philly, preview the game to come Wednesday against Orlando. And of course, we'll go around the MLS with Matthew Doyle, MLS analyst from MLSsoccer.com. And finally, we'll also get you set next Friday for the big, the massive 401 Derby at BMO Field against the Montreal Impact, a game that is quite nearly sold out. And I got to say, missing my niece's birthday party and my future mother-in-law's birthday party. So I'm in hot water from going to that game. Certainly. But it is can't miss kind of stuff against Montreal. We'll get you set for that. We'll get you set for Orlando, and we'll recap this Philadelphia game on Monday. And again, you can watch it on Sportsnet 360, 7 o'clock Saturday night. I'm Dan Riccio, at Dan Riccio 590. Producer Emil Delich is at Aman Delich. The Roots taking you out on our TFC Pitchside match preview.
In the house, so proud of y'all. You got the roots cool with the sound, of course. High, lift them up, high. Okay, when that adrenaline get in their system, it get them out on a quest for stardom. Could be a muffle, I'm Harlem in Philly, Cincinnati, Los Angeles, or Harlem. Kids call themselves killers, let their hammers do the talking. Don't even know the meaning of life. Ain't seen a thing and you dream of flooding the scenery with yayo and greenery buffing now. You sticking them with the heavy machinery. Wonder how you lift it up. We only 17 and like everybody, he wanna shine. Young brothers on the grind, holding something in their spine, bowling for Columbine. Stressing to me how it's all about a dollar sign. Dig the way you out of line, out of sight and out of mind. Up against the clock and damn near out of time. The tipping point is arrived and that's the bottom line. To all my peoples, the stars, it's our time to shine. Let's get them up high. Come on, go all star. Get down for y'all. To the ladies in the house, proud of y'all. You got the roots cool with the sound of course. High, lift them up high. Okay, go all star. Get down for y'all. To the ladies in the house, you proud of y'all. You got the roots cool with the sound of course. High, lift them up high. Okay, ain't it strange how the newspapers play with the language? I'm deprogramming y'all with uncut.